Great Father, we... The road is rocky and difficult. Our journey to eternity, Father, is filled with all kinds of tribulation. But in the name of Jesus Christ, we overcome. In the name of Jesus Christ, we can persevere. And we know that it is not through our own strength that we can persevere. It is through the strength that Christ gives us. And as the Apostle Paul says, what do you have that you haven't received? And if you have received it, why you glorify yourself as if you did not receive it? Father, we glorify not in ourselves, but we glory in the cross. And we glory in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is not through our own strength that we can run the race, but through Christ in us. And for this we give you glory and praise. Christ in us, the hope of glory. As we turn to your word, and we pray that you may open our hearts to receive it as it truly is, your holy word. I pray that, Lord, we may imitate, or rather obey, what you said to the churches in the book of Revelation. He who has ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So give us listening ear, Father, and attentive hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. 1 John chapter 5. I'll read from verse 1 all the way to verse 5, but we'll be focusing on verse 4. 1 John chapter 5. John chapter 5. This is the word of the Lord. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commands. In fact, this is love for God, to keep his commands, and his commands are not burdensome. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that overcomes the world, that overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. This is the word of God. Verse 4 of our passage says, "For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith." If you're a Christian this morning, the Bible says that you have overcome the world. If you have accepted Christ in your life this morning, this text says that you have overcome the world. For everyone who has been born of God has overcome the world. We know that in this world, there are many challenges. John has been speaking of challenges throughout the book. He spoke about the temptation of the world, or the temptations of the world. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 14 to 15, he speaks about the things of the world. And he says, do not love the things of the world. Why does he say, do not love the things of the world? Because the things of the world are enticing. There are temptations in this world. And if anyone says, when you become a Christian, you're tempted, tell them you're not tempted anymore. Tell them you're a liar. When you become a Christian, you're even more tempted by the world. And John speaks in chapter 2, verse 14 to 15, of the desire of the flesh, of the desire of the eyes, and the pride of life. In John chapter 4, in the Gospel of John chapter 4, Jesus speaks about the parable of the seed, and there's a seed that falls into rocky ground, and those are the people who receive the word with joy, and they're happy with the word, but the issues of the world, the cares of the world, and the deceitfulness of riches, what does it do? It chokes the word of God. We are faced with all kinds of temptation in this world. And those temptations are there to make us give up our Christian faith. But the Bible says anyone who has been born of God has overcome the world. We are overcome, if you're a Christian this morning, you will face the hatred of the world. People will hate you. 1 John chapter 3 verse 13. Don't be surprised if people in the world hate you. Christ himself told his disciples, if they hated the master, don't you think that they will hate you too? We are faced with hatred. We are also faced with deceiving spirits in this world. Even the spirit of the Antichrist, 1 John chapter 4 verse 1 to 4. Satan is at war against believers. This is the spirit of the Antichrist. Everything that is against Christ, anything to lead us away from Christ, is there. If you're a Christian, you will be faced regularly with deceiving spirit. You'll be faced regularly with challenges to abandon Christ. If you're a Christian this morning, you will have many, many troubles in this world. Christ himself told his disciples, in this world, you will have many trouble. And I can go from here all the way and ask you, what are the troubles that you have in your life? And you will probably tell me, Pastor, you need to sit because I have a big list. Because in this world, the Bible says, you will have many troubles. But in all these things, John reminds us that if we are God's children, if we have put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, if we have trusted God, we can overcome those obstacles. We can overcome the temptations of the world. We can overcome the hatred of the world. We can overcome the deceitful spirits of the world. We can overcome all the troubles in this world because we are in God and in Christ, because we have put our trust in him. Christ said, in this world you will have troubles, but take heart. I have overcome the world. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Anyone who is born of God overcomes the world. And John continues by saying, how do we overcome the world? By faith. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. It's a very interesting wording in the Greek. If you had to translate this passage literally, he would say, this is the conquering that has conquered the world, even our faith. This is the conquering, the word victory is the same word for overcome. It's the same word. This is the conquering that has conquered the world. And so some of our translations say, let's put something different. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. And John, in this passage, is using the present tense. That means that it's not that we will overcome the world. It means we are overcoming the world as I speak. It's a present tense. We are currently experiencing victory over the world. If you are a believer, you are currently experiencing victory over the world. Faith is perhaps the most important word for us all as believers. The Bible says we are saved by grace through faith. The Bible says that we live by faith. We live by faith, not by sight. The just shall live by faith. Our prayer, the Bible says, should be offered by faith. If you prayed this morning and you didn't believe, if you didn't have faith in what you said, your prayer is in vain. When you offer prayer, you ought to offer it by faith, believing that you will receive what you ask God for. The Bible says if our faith is as small as a mustard seed, we can move mountains. If your faith is as small as a mustard seed, you can move mountains. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6 that without faith, it is impossible to please God. If you want to please God this morning, you need to have faith. You must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him earnestly. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. We did a series on the book of Hebrews, Hebrews 11 last year, and we talk about faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So faith is believing in something that you cannot even see. We cannot see heaven, but we believe, we have so much faith based on the promises of Scripture that it is as if we were in heaven right now. It substantiates, it makes something, how can I explain that? Real, that doesn't seem real. You see, for example, Thomas wanted to see and he wanted to touch Jesus Christ. He wanted to touch the side and see the nail-pierced hand. That was weak faith. or no faith at all. He said, if I don't see, I won't believe. And Jesus came and said, Thomas, touch me and look at my finger. And he said, Thomas, you believe because you see. Stop doubting. Believe. And he said, blessed are those who won't see and believe. You see, we don't see, but we believe. Because the word of God is true. And the Spirit of God is living in us. And the Spirit of God testifies to our spirit that Christ has been raised from the dead. And we believe. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. And the evidence of things not seen. Faith involves trusting when you cannot see. Faith involves trusting and believing when your prayers are unanswered. Have faith in God, we sing, when your prayers are unanswered. He sees and knows. Faith is believing, even everybody say, that's not going to happen. God says, no. If the Bible makes a promise, you can bank on it. God will keep his promise. The opposite of faith is actually doubt. When you don't have faith in God, it's called doubt. Actually, not exercising faith in what we do is like sinning. In Romans chapter 14, verse 23, Paul says, everything that does not come from faith is sin. Anything that does not come from our faith in God and Christ is sin. James said, let him who ask, in the context of prayer, and we're here this morning to pray, and we've been praying all day. James chapter 1 verse 6 says, let him ask. If anyone needs something, let him ask. But it says, ask in faith, with no doubting. But what is faith? When you talk about faith, what is faith? Some people think that you need to trust in faith. You believe something, then it's going to happen. That's faith in faith. And that's not what the Bible is speaking about. Some people think that faith is believing in yourself. Just believing, have faith in yourself and things will happen. That's not what the Bible is talking about. Faith in faith is no faith at all. Faith in self is no faith at all. The faith that gives us the victory is faith in God and His Son. Our faith is rooted in the finished work of Christ. That is why Paul could say, if Christ is not raised, for example, our faith is in vain and we are still in our sins. Our salvation is based on Christ. If someone comes and says Christ is not raised from the dead, well, our faith is in vain. Has no value. But it's only because of Christ that our faith has value. It is faith in Christ. There's a writer who says, vain faith is trusting someone or something other than God to accomplish things that only God can accomplish. Vain faith is trusting someone or something other than God to accomplish things that only God can accomplish. Vain faith is first and always the goal of Satan for mortal men. Vain faith is always faith in some sort of lie. Lies always originate with Satan. That's why Satan came to Adam and Eve and said, did God really say? And their trust in God, in terms of eating all the fruits in the garden and not taking of that fruit, became intertwined with doubt. Did God really say? And it caused them to sin. Satan wants us to doubt all the truth of God's word. In John, 1 John 5, verse 1 to 4, he says that if we believe, and the word here for believe in verse 1, if we believe, if we have faith, that Jesus Christ has been born of God, then we overcome the world. Verse 5, if you have been born of God, who is he that overcomes the world? Those who have faith. There's another writer, his name is John Stott, he said, Christian believers are God's children, born from above. God's children are loved by all who love God. Those who love God also keep his commands. They keep his commands because they overcome the world. And they overcome the world because they are Christian believers born from above. So he's sort of showing what John is doing. John is saying your faith is connected to Christ. If you have faith in him, if you believe in him, that faith, the fact that you believe in Christ, makes you a child of God. And if you are a child of God, you will do the things that God asks you to do. You love others, and you will keep His commands. And His commands are not burdensome, as we saw last time. And when you do that, as you're doing that, you are overcoming the world. We're called to persevere, even in the midst of difficulty. My application for this sermon is going to be very simple. I just want us to look at the song. And the last song we're going to sing is Faith is the Victory. And I'd like Nisa to put the verses one by one, and I'll just comment on them as we go. The writer of that song is John Yeats. He lived in 1837 to the 1900. He had a very difficult life. He was very accident prone as a kid, and one of the accidents that he had as a kid left him lame in one foot. He lost his wife and two children in 1 week. He remarried eventually. He had four children, but he lost two of his children, including and his wife, in 1 week. He lived through the American Civil War of 1861 to 1865. And I think because he was in the midst of battle, that song reflects the Christian as a soldier fighting in God's army. And he begins in verse 1 by saying, "Encamped along the hills of light, ye Christian soldiers rise, and press the battle ere the night shall veil the glowing sky. Against the foe in veils below, let all our strength be hurled. Faith is the victory we know that overcomes the world." The first verse portrays the believer as encamped on the hills of light. And there are many references to the hills of light, but this seems to be a reference to Jesus' teaching on the Sermon on the Mount, when he told his disciples and his listeners, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden." And so he describes the Christian life. When you become a Christian, you go up on the hills of light. I don't know if any of you have read The Pilgrim's Progress. Recently, there was a free movie, sort of a cartoon for children, and I watched it last Sunday, and it's amazing. You see Christian, who's the main character, and he has this heavy load on his back, and as he reads scripture, the load becomes heavier and heavier and bigger and bigger, and then he climbs a hill, and on top of the hill there's light, and as he climbs, and when he gets to the top of the hill where there's a cross, that big load that represents sin falls down, and he stays on the hills of light, and camped along the hills of light, his Christian soldiers rise. Here, he's inviting Christian not to just stand there, but to rise and go into battle. We are called to engage in battle. Even though we are on the hills of light, even though we are Christian, we are waging war. In the story of the Pilgrim's Progress, he gets to the hill and he thinks that his journey is over. It's not over. Your journey has just begun. And because you're a Christian, that's when Satan is going to be, you're going to become Satan's target. And that's where he becomes a target for all of Satan's attack. When you become Christians, don't think that once you become a Christian, once you accept Christ in your life, that's it, I'm victorious. There's perseverance there. I remember my pastor always saying, anyone who wants to serve God, anyone who wants to live for God, should expect the attack of Satan. Should expect to be challenged. And that stays in my mind. And he says, you want to become a pastor? Remember, if you want to serve God, Satan's going to attack you. The target is always those on the front line. And he says, text says, we're on the hills of light. Press the battle here tonight. There's battle to be fought. Christ told us to go into the world and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Even if you're Christian, God doesn't remove us from the world. John chapter 17, verse 14 to 18. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not ask you to take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. Just as you sent me in the world, So I have sent them into the world. And I think that's what the writer is saying in the first verse. He's saying we are in the hills of light, but we need to go into battle. We need to go into the world and make disciples. There are Christians to be saved. There are people in the world who are still in darkness. And we need to go to them and spread the news. And when we go, we're going into battle. But we do not fight against flesh and blood. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God. In verse 2, he says, as we go into battle, his banner over us is love. Our sword, the word of God. We tread the road the saints before. We shout of triumph trod. By faith, they like a whirlwind breath swept on, over every field. By faith, the faith by which they conquer death is still our shining shield. I like what he says in the beginning of that verse. He says, the banner over us is love. And I think he's making a reference to either 1 Corinthians or maybe the whole book of John, which is about loving God and loving one another. In 1 Corinthians, Paul says, if we have faith that can move mountains and yet have no love, we are nothing. Even if we engage in battle, we should remember that our banner, what represents us, is love. Whatever we do it out of love. Whatever we do it out of love. We read the church in Ephesus in Revelation. They had everything right. They were fighting the opponents, fighting false teachers, but they have absolutely no love. And Christ says, you have forsook the first love that you have. The banner over us is love. Our sword is what? The word of God. That's Ephesians chapter 6. Verse 10 to 20, put on the whole armor of God. The sword of the Spirit is the word of God. And it speaks of following the faith of others. We tread the road the saints before with shouts of triumph trod. We have people who have gone before us, who have persevered and have finished the race. And we look to them. Christ is our great example, but we look at them and say, they have finished the race. They have kept the faith. We can do it too. And we can persevere like they did. There's no new way of following God. The Christian way is a way of love. There are no new truth when it comes to following God. Our only truth is found in the Word of God. We don't fight people. I know in the history of the church, many people have used those military images to encourage people to fight others and to conquer and to hurt people. But that's not what the Word of God says. Our battle is a verbal battle. In other words, we share the Word of God with people. Our sword is the Word of God. We share the Word of God with love to people, so that they, in turn, might believe like we do and have faith in God. In verse 3, he continues by saying, on every hand the foe we find, drawn up in dread array. Let tents of ease be left behind, and onward to the fray. Salvation's helmet on its head, with truth all girt about. The earth shall tremble neath our tread and echo with a shout. It's the same thing of the same theme of putting the whole armor of God, because we are in a spiritual battle. He goes further in this passage, in this verse, by reminding us that the battle is always raging. It's so funny sometimes we think that we're not in a fight. You know, we leave our Christian life thinking, I'm not in a fight. Sometimes we have times of refreshing. But if you're a Christian, you are always in a fight. Satan is always around the corner. On every hand, in every circumstances in your life, you will find the devil at work. God is at work, but the devil is at work. He's the accuser of believers. He's like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, especially believers. He wants to destroy us. And he invites us, the writer says, let's stop being comfortable. You know the tent, you know the soldier. Imagine all the soldiers are at war and then there's one soldier in the tent that's chilling, you know. He says, let tents of ease be left behind and onward to the fray. Too often we have just some Christians fighting the battle, while others are in their tents of ease. We look at our prayer meetings. That's where we fight. We fight on our knees. All of us should be in prayer meeting, fighting the battle. The tents of ease be left behind. As we're beginning this new season, I invite you again. On Wednesday night, we come together to pray and intercede for the church. Come. Come pray with us. If you cannot come, stay home. But pray. Join us in this fight against the devil. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, he says, with the whole armor of God, we should pray at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, he says, keep alert with all perseverance. We should never get comfortable in this world. There are times and places when we can enjoy times of refreshing. But as believers, we should always be fighting. And the last verse, he makes the promise. He says, to him or her, to anyone who overcomes the foe, white raiment shall be given. Before the angel, he shall know his name confessed in heaven. Then onward from the hills of light, our hearts with love aflame will vanquish all the host of night. And that's my favorite part, in Jesus' conquering name. Verse 4 is looking towards the day when the battle will be over. Verse 4 is looking to the time when we'll be on the other side. Verse 4 is like Paul looking at Timothy and telling Timothy, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Paul told Timothy, I have kept the faith. I have faced trouble and tribulation. I've been in prison. I've been beaten. I've gone hungry. I was shipwrecked. I was criticized. But I have kept the faith. Because faith is the victory that overcomes the world. And the text is, to him that overcomes the foe, white raiment shall be given. And that's a reference to Revelation chapter 3, which we read earlier on. To the church in Sardis, he says in Revelation chapter 3, verse 5, the one who is victorious will be dressed in white. I will never blot out the name of that person from the book of life, but will acknowledge that name before my Father and his angel. When we finish the battle, there's a new name written down in glory, and it's yours and mine. We'll be dressed in white. We won't be fighting anymore. The fight will be over. But as I said earlier on, it's the last phrase of this song that is the most important. We'll vanquish all the hosts of night in Jesus' conquering name. There is no victory without Jesus. There is no white robe without Jesus. There is no new name without Jesus. There is no perseverance without Jesus. In the book of Hebrews chapter 12, he says, we are surrounded by such a great crowd of witnesses, all those who have gone before us. But what do we do? We run the race, keeping our eyes on who? On Jesus, the author and perfecter or finisher of our faith. If you want to have faith, to persevere, you need to ask God. Because Jesus Christ is the one who makes faith possible, and he's the one who allows us to continue to live by faith. Look to Jesus, the author and perfecter or finisher of our faith. In Romans chapter 8, verse 57, he says, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us, and that is Lord Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, one of my favorite verses in the Bible, Paul says, O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your victory? You see, because of sin, death is personified in this passage, and because of our sin, death has victory over us. But in Christ, there's a challenge to death. O death, where is your victory? O grave, where is your sting? You know, when we come to face death, we say, oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, grave, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through Jesus Christ, our Lord. It is not faith in faith. It is not faith in yourself. It is not faith in your prayers. It is faith in God and the Lord Jesus Christ that will enable us to persevere in our Christian life. And having said that, Paul says, therefore, my beloved brothers and sisters, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Because we can trust Christ, because he has done all the work for us, we can labor for him. Because we know that he has overcome the world, because we know what he has done on the cross for us, we can persevere in our Christian life. If you are discouraged in your walk with God, put your faith in Christ. If you feel that it's too hard to be a Christian, put your faith in Christ. Look to Jesus. He's the one that can make you persevere in the midst of your challenges. Who is it that overcomes the world? Those who have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're here this morning and you have not put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, you cannot overcome the world. You cannot overcome Satan. He's too much, too strong of an adversary. You need to put your hope and your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And for us, brothers and sisters who are running the race, let us continue to run. Let us continue to encourage each other, knowing that even when we are down, the Bible says we are victorious. And we'll be victorious to the end. And we'll say like Paul one day, I have kept the faith. Let's stand together and sing that song.